It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lie, feline, with a death wish. Eat right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Very long weekend for most of you. Hopefully it was for all of you. I know some people maybe had to work on Friday, but if you're with us, we appreciate it. And Sean's back. Sean was one of the people who had a very long week. He took, rightfully so, he took Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off, and then obviously Thursday, Friday, like the rest of us. And so the show's whole. Appreciate AJ and Sam for filling in last week. So I'm going to put Sean to work immediately. Sean, I hope you have your soundboard up. You got to make a decision. We have not been able to play this sound since we realized it'd be funny to play. Just the performances haven't allowed for it. So, the Texans win, and we'll get more into that. But for the purposes of this show, we got to get to something more important. CJ Stroud. He did not turn the ball over. His team won the game. He missed some throws. He made some throws. It was a... what we've come to acknowledge is a CJ Stroud performance in 2024. The numbers tell you 22 of 34, 242 yards, and a touchdown, and no turnovers. We've avoided the turnovers. So, when you include the opponent being the Jags, a team who tortured Sam Darnold just a couple weeks ago, do you think this performance qualifies for our here to this point unused soundbite, at least in the context of Stroud's performances? Does it get it? And you just answer with playing the sounder or saying no.
Shroud of Stroud!
There it is.
It's the holiday season. Why not?
You're giving out gifts.
Yeah, I mean, 3-point win against Jacksonville. Maybe it's a little bit light of a grade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no turnovers, only two sacks, which some of that is on the quarterback. We know the offensive line, whatever.
Uh-huh. I will tell you, just for some context, in their last game, how many yards do you think Jared Goff threw for? And remember, this was a game where the Lions scored 52 points.
Against the Jacks?
Yeah, how many yards
Was it one of the weird ones where you only threw for like 197 or something?
No, it was one of the ones where the 52 points line up with his day.
Oh, okay.
He threw for 412 yards and four TDs.
It could have gone either way where it was like there's four different punts returned for a touchdown.
So we know the Jags are willing to give up big numbers.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I mentioned they tortured Sam Darnold. He threw for 241 but did throw three picks. So they have up and down days. Jalen Hurts, 230 and two TDs. So are we giving C.J. Stroud that Gruden because we haven't been able to play it? Or do you think the numbers in the game deserved the shred 'em Stroud?
I think they go together. I think the game is close enough. The performance is close enough to where we give it to him. I also think our expectations for...
Well, we've talked about CJ's expectations. We have lessened them on this show. Yeah, maybe other people are still living in the world where they're going to get all pro-type performances. Not us. Yeah. We've come to the conclusion
65% completion.
Yeah. We come to the conclusion that he is an example of his own
of his team. Like, he is the head of what this team is now.
Yeah.
And they're okay. They're fine. They are fine. They're 4-1 in the AFC South. And if I've done my numbers correctly, and that's always in question, I believe 4-1 and have a plus 7-point differential. What does that mean? They play, well, all the games have been one-score games.
Yeah.
So while you're dominating the AFC South record-wise, you're not exactly dominating it. If we even just look at the, hey, what do the games look like? What are the scores? It's not even like getting into the analytics and saying game control. It's just, hey, the scores of these games are one possession where the Texans, like yesterday, are either running out the clock, and credit to them for doing that, or they need a stop. This is how these games have gone all year long. And, in fact, I believe the biggest margin of victory or loss is the game they lost to the Titans, where they lost by 5. That's the biggest difference in score in all the games they've played against AFC South.
Wow. Yeah. I really wish John Gruden, and he maybe did, I'll have to dig through the crates, had a Shred'em Mixon, or maybe a Shred'em Nico Collins.
Okay.
I feel like those would get played a lot more.
A lot more. You'd have more reason to.
Than C.J. Stroud. Those two guys are just the best players on the offense, at least.
Yes.
If not the team.
If not the entire team, yes.
So, yeah, I mean, you did what you had to do to win. To win in the National Football League, Dale, you have to win.
Yes, I know head coach Sean Mates will tell me that it's very difficult to win this league.
And head coach Trent Dilfer. You cannot lose in the NFL and still win.
So, they beat the Colts in opening weekend by
win.
Two. That's a win.
1-0.
Beat the Jags by 4, home game, in the first game against them. Beat the Colts by 3.
Mm.
Lost the Titans by 5.
Ugh.
And beat the Jags by 3.
I was very glad that I didn't work on Monday after the Titans game. Not because like I was so like down bad. It's just like it would just be annoying.
Yes. Just to discuss this game. Talk about
I feel
Will
like
Levis.
We've done that show like 15 times.
Yes. Now that you're reaching back. You give up that. You get that many sacks. Will Levis, when he's not being sacked, is dicing you up.
Yeah.
And you lose a game to an awful football team who, how did they bounce back? How did they lean into their momentum of beating the Texans?
It turned their season around, right, Dell?
Yeah. They lost 42-19 to a reeling Commanders team who hadn't played well and needed a get right game. 42-19 in their next outing. That's the team you lost to.
Mm.
And now, unfortunately, the Colts go for 2 in their game and beat the Patriots. So you did not gain any ground. You still control this division because you've dominated it as far as wins and losses. Now, the game itself yesterday, I will credit them for avoiding the indignity of letting Mac Jones lead a comeback. They were close.
Yeah.
If not for that 4-minute drive offense where they ran the ball down the Jags' throats, they were about to give Mac Jones a chance to lead a game-winning drive after, of course, knocking out Trevor Lawrence, and that's been a topic of conversation really across the NFL, whether you talk about the morning shows or the local stuff here, immediately after the game, today. And as far as how I saw it, when I was like, ooh, oh boy, oh, okay. I mean, what argument are we having? We know how this goes. We can try to start piecing it together frame by frame. Well, no, actually, Trevor Lawrence slid late, and Al-Shaair didn't really hit him in the head initially. It was the follow-through, and then his head hits the ground, and that's where all the damage comes from, the fencing position, all that stuff. Sure, you want to play it that way, but let's just live in a reality where we know the rules. If a quarterback's in the open field, and you even get the sense that he's about to slide, and you're attacking him, you don't launch. Or maybe you don't think it's a launch because it wasn't 2 feet off the ground. You don't leave your forearm. Because even if you think Trevor Lawrence is going to okie-doke you, like Kenny Pickett did a couple years ago in the ACC title game, who tackles forearm first one-on-one? Like, heads up. Now, if you're coming from the side, you're trying to knock a guy out of bounds, sure. But in those acres of space, no one tackles that way unless you're trying to punish a quarterback who you think is sliding. And that's Al-Shaair's problem. He's issued a statement. I don't know if it's going to save him from – I don't know if it's going to save him from suspension, mostly because he wouldn't leave the field in a timely manner. I think he might have got away with it as far as just catching a fine if he hits Trevor Lawrence, of course, gets ejected, the Jags are attacking him, maybe you use, hey, I was defending myself. But once you mill around on the field and then decide Brandon Scherff is talking a little bit too much to me, I got to talk to him and need to be held back, and then I struggle to lead the field, I need Will Anderson to shepherd me off the field, then you're in trouble. I don't know exactly if they're doing it like the NBA does, because the NBA is like, they will punish you for not leaving the court in a timely manner. I don't know if the NFL will work that way. But coming off the bye, I think he catches at least one. At least one. The over-under set on the morning show was a game and a half. Two, I think it's kind of stiff. I think he's getting one.
Yeah, I agree with you that it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because of all the football we watched this weekend.
Sure.
And especially on Saturday with all the extracurriculars
yep.
that went on. Where I saw that, I was like, a little late, but and then it became a fracas, and I'm like...
Oh, and that's understandable. All that stuff...
Yeah, and then I look on my phone, and I see John McClain say, I've covered the NFL for 48 years, this is the dirtiest hit I've ever seen. I'm like, okay,
it's
John,
not...
I don't have any issue with John McClain.
Say what you like, sir. You've been covering a game, as he mentioned, a long time. But
there's no way that's true.
It's not the dirtiest hit I've ever
there's
seen.
There's no way that's true. It's not the dirtiest hit I've ever seen.
I've watched football almost my entire life as far as being a conscious being, knowing football's going on. It's not the dirtiest hit I've ever seen. It's not even close.
It might not be the dirtiest hit I've seen this weekend. Like, what are we talking
about? It's probably the dirtiest hit on Sunday. I'm not sure. I didn't watch all the games. But stop it. Not even close. It is late. It is penalty worthy. It may be, if you add up all the events together, suspension worthy, but it's not the dirtiest hit.
Yeah, people were talking like on social media, like it was like the Kennedy assassination. Like it took, oh, come on, like,
his head did go back into the left.
And he did go back into the left.
Yes.
His arms went up too.
Yes. But it wasn't.
I don't know if there's a second.
No, there was. We saw there was no one else around. Evan Ingram was the closest guy. He tried to enforce some law and order for his quarterback.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's a situation where it's a little bit of like, this is just what the NFL is now. That is a penalty.
You at least are going to get a giant fine. Now,
yeah. Now all the people talking about, I wish it was more, the NFL was more physical, them doing the pearl clutching. It's like, come on, guys. Like, again, this is not the worst hit I've ever seen.
It's an unfortunate one because of the quarterback thing is not really my concern. The fact that Trevor Lawrence was in that position on the ground, looked like he was in the fencing position, that's the problem. He looked pretty clear-eyed once he got on the cart. But we'll see as far as his long-term prognosis. But it's a penalty. It's an illegal hit. Your enforcer is going to catch a giant fine and likely a suspension because of everything that followed afterwards. And that's about it. He's issued an apology, says he never wanted to hurt Trevor Lawrence, and I get that part. I don't think he's actively attempting to hurt anyone. I think he's trying to, this quarterback's out of the pocket, I got a chance, I'm going to take my shot. And I wouldn't say any linebacker is a right-thinking individual in the middle of the game. That's, you got to get to a level where you're pretty much an insane person to play, and maybe better judgments failed him. And where he goes, you know what? I'm not going to do what I could do here. He's probably going to go down. And Daryl Johnson talked about it, the respect for the game, respect for your fellow competitor. That was a lot of his conversation leading or at least after the play. And I think to myself, look, if you were in that position as a defender, you probably expect the quarterback to slide, and you'll give him the grace of letting him slide. If he doesn't slide and you give up an extra 7 yards because he didn't, I guess, follow the rules of the game, then you say, okay, next time all bets are off.
Yeah.
I'm going to believe he's approached me in a spot where, and you got to know the quarterback. If it's Jalen Hurts, maybe even Jalen Hurts will slide. But depending on the position of the quarterback, you kind of, okay, this guy's not going to try to run me over. This is Trevor Lawrence, big guy, but he's not going to try to run me over. I understand. And it's early, it's not 3rd and 5. He's not going for a first down. I think it might have been third down.
It was close.
It was
line.
Close, but you kind of get it. You understand, context matters. And
the
problem is when you're playing that position, sometimes context is out the door. I'm sitting at home thinking, you know what? Maybe I understand this guy's not going to try to put me on a poster, quote unquote.
I'm wearing sweatpants talking about.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. This guy is probably feels like he's battling for his life out there.
Yeah.
So he can't possibly be thinking the way I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But
I think if he does this, a few weeks from now on the sideline against Mahomes, I think people are on his side. Just because we've seen Mahomes get away with it.
Yeah, Mahomes is one of the guys who will
play out the string
and
slow
take
down
a couple extra yards because he knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if Aziz comes with bad intentions there.
Well, you would say Patrick Mahomes has set an example where he's going to play the game and toe the line and see what he can get away with. I don't know that Trevor Lawrence is like that.
No.
And it costs Trevor Lawrence and it costs Aziz Ashayer, and it'll likely cost him a lot of money. Question will be if it's going to cost him an actual game check or two.
And will it cost the Texans long term? Because now the Jags are going to have to play Mac Jones for even more of the season. And
you
now
think that'll be better off?
No. Now the Jags are going to lose more games and draft Travis Hunter.
Oh.
And you're going to have to play Travis Hunter twice a year.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, uh-huh. Four-dimensional chess.
Well, the Texans tried to make Mac Jones look like a competent quarterback yesterday.
Yeah.
We'll get
and Parker, I don't want to see Parker Washington ever again. That guy. Get that guy on an out route.
I mean, if any Jag quarterback could throw the ball on time and down the field, Brian Thomas would have had
an all-time day
against
Parker Washington. Stuck out to me because I was like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
At first, when they said, like, Washington, I was like, Nate Washington is still around? No, it's Parker Washington.
Yes, whoever that is,
that guy
was going to have a giant day if the Jags quarterbacks were any better. And that goes for Brian Thomas as well. So we're just getting started here. We'll get into some of the things that happened that led up to the hit as far as the NFL, the college football world, the NFL world overall. We'll certainly get more into the Texans. We'll hear D'Amico Ryans on the hit. And anyone want to get in, 713-780-3776. If you want to talk about, anything, honestly. This is what this show's about. Texans focus, but we welcome all your calls. And we'll find out who D'Amico gave the game ball to. It was a nice night or afternoon for the Texans' run game, particularly late. That's kind of your clue about who won the game ball. And I'm glad we got a Shred'em Shroud in.
We needed to. Come on.
It was a pity one, but it still happened. The standards are lower here.
Yeah, I mean, now it's gotten to the case where if I'm not giving it up for that, like, I should just delete it off my page.
Yeah. Considering how bad the Dolphins are against good football teams, you might have a chance in a couple weeks. Now, that's the line of delineation.
Is it in Houston?
Yes, it's
crack the roof.
depend how cold it is. But that's the line. You know you're a bad football team or an average one if you can't beat the Dolphins.
Yeah.
If you are
the Mendoza
good,
line.
The line says you beat the Dolphins.
The McDaniel line.
Yeah.
The Mike McDaniel line.
Yeah. No matter who the DC is, the Mike McDaniel line. And it's funny, they started out 2-0. Like his first year, they beat the Ravens and the Bills, and back-to-back weeks has been downhill ever since. But we'll find out in a couple weeks. Are the Texans a good football team? Because a team who never beats a good football team is coming to town.
All this talk we've done all this year about are the Texans good? Are they Super Bowl? Whatever. We'll find out against the Dolphins.
Yes.
We'll know for sure.
I mean, for all the talk, for all the analysis, we should have just waited for this game. We would have known. I can't see that name, but we'll get to you when we talk CFB and the NFL. We'll get to you when we come back. We're just getting started here. But first, Sean, let's talk to you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks. I've been out for a while. I literally could not wait any longer to talk to you about Prize Picks. And I told you about the Tyreek Hill half yard on Thanksgiving. Over. Hit. Easy. Not that easy, but pretty easy for the Tyreek Hill. And, you know, if you would have maybe added that to this one, I'm especially proud of. A Quinn Ewers to throw an interception, Marcel Reed to also throw an interception. You would have cashed out. You would have won three times your money at least. Maybe even get a little feistier. Put a bigger lineup together on Prize Picks. You know, I've been doing a lot of Joe Mixon over, Nico Collins over, maybe a sack by one of the leading sacksmen from the Houston Texans. So you can do that. And hey, even if you get it wrong, the Prize Picks does have, and they invented the flex play, which means you can get one of your projections wrong, one of your more or less is wrong, and you can still cash out. What you're going to do is you're going to download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES. That's MAPES. It's been a while. I'll spell it again. Use promo code MAPES and get $50 instantly for your first $5 lineup. That's code MAPES to get $50 instantly, your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. Run your game.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We will hear from D'Amico Ryans on. Well, we talk a lot about the Al-Shaair hit. We'll get to his game ball that he gave away in the locker room. But first, let's hear from Eric. Eric wants to talk a little college football and the NFL. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. That Texas linebacker, he's classless. He's almost as big as a dirtbag as Nick Bosa with the Maggie cap. Also, Bill, how do you feel about the college team winning, planting the flag in the middle of the other team's field? I'm all for it. If you can't defend it during the game, don't act like you can defend it after the game. What do you think about Abigail Dice in the workout video? I hang up to listen.
I don't know about any workout video, Eric. I don't know. Al-Shaair is classless as someone wearing a political statement on a hat. I don't know how they correlate, but that's up to you and your political beliefs, I guess. As far as flag planting, I don't mind it. It doesn't bother me. But like a lot of other things, if you are willing to do it, be prepared for what happens when the team you do it to doesn't like it. That's all. I'm not coming out and going, stop the flag planting. I don't even mind a little pushing and shoving because you're doing it. I do wish that the pepper spray wasn't brought out for the Ohio State Michigan ending. I don't know if Ohio State guys got pepper sprayed. I just know Michigan players did because I saw it because the guys had that pepper spray face after the altercation. So if it was Ohio cops spraying Michigan players in the face, I'm sure there will be an in-depth investigation, which I think has already begun, and conversation about how that occurred while no Ohio State guys got sprayed. I don't know if that they did or didn't. I just didn't see it.
Yeah.
So as far as the flag planting, do it. I know Steve Sarkisian made sure that his guys got off the logo and no flag planting happened. I think it was it Makumba? Is that his name?
Makumba.
Makumba, yeah. Who has been at Texas for how long?
Since the spring semester.
Yes. Very long time. Long time Texas.
He's from Austin.
So he decided he was going to kick the logo several times.
Yeah.
And a police officer, hey, get off the logo.
Hey.
And he had a little back and forth with the police officer as the police officer said, hey, cut that out. I don't know exactly what he said, but you could tell him turning around and having a talk. So do it. Just expect what you got on Saturday. It didn't end in Columbus. It happened in Tallahassee. It happened in Arizona, Tucson. I think it happened in Chapel Hill. Happened in a lot of places.
Was there one in Arkansas, Mizzou? It was a lot.
Yes.
And only 20% of the time did you get pepper sprayed.
It was
100% of the time it's a fight, and 20 of it it's a pepper spray.
It was. If your friend jumps off a building, are you going to do it too? And the college football world's like, yes,
yeah,
we will do it.
If
they do it, we will do it.
I mean, bringing up Andrew Makumba, I mean, this is something you think would die off with the transfer portal and the NIL.
Nah,
and
like, disrespect.
These guys,
get
these
the chance
guys
to disrespect
are,
someone.
These guys
will
are
never
millionaires. Andrew Makumba just finished moving into his dorm, and he's still... These two teams haven't played since Makumba was like 10 years old. Doesn't matter.
Does not matter. I get to disrespect you because we won. I'm going to disrespect you.
Yeah.
And he did it. The former Clemson Tiger, who they lost their own rivalry game.
Yeah. Oh. The Gamecock was allegedly taking a deuce on the logo. It was definitely on the logo. The like actual like bird on a leash.
He mimicked.
No, the bird.
I know the bird.
Like the actual animal.
Oh. Don't they have a special? They have a special. I forgot their name of that Gamecock is. I thought you were talking about mascots.
No.
Mascots were getting in fights. The ones that Arizona did.
Arizona State.
Yeah, so mascots
were
throwing.
I love a mascot fight.
Yeah.
It's so funny every time.
You're in that felt costume. You're not really hurting anyone. Throw a couple points. That's why those guys get away with tackling little kids in those halftime football games.
Because they're in those. True. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's literally what they did at the end of Ace Ventura. He fought a mascot.
Yeah. Sometimes they deserve it. So like it was one. A wild week, and certainly we'll do more college football tomorrow. And
misery index. Yeah. Long list.
Long list. I said it this morning on the John Lance show in What Have You Learned. I don't know if I learned this. I knew this already, but when your team blows a giant opportunity, you can comfort yourself with knowing you're right about the head coach all along. Mm-hmm. You were all, and I'm talking about myself, I always knew it. I had evidence before he got to my school, and what happened on Saturday was more proof that this is who he is.
Still believe in Ryan Day.
It's not my guy. Speaking of that, we played some sound on Wednesday from Ryan Day about he compared. We're gonna play it again because of what happened on Saturday.
I already know what you're talking.
Yes.
I wasn't here. I know what sound you're talking.
Yes.
About.
He said something that got me to say wow the first time I heard it, and I knew it had some impact because Sam was producing the show, and you know. Doing a lot of sports. She's a little tuned out, just here to make sure the show stays on the rails. And when she played it, she's like, what? What did he say? Yeah, Ryan Day. What happened on Saturday didn't help the feeling he has. And we'll play that when we come back. But first, since I said it, let's get to what D'Amico said or what he said about his offensive line and what they did to close out this game and why they got the game ball.
This right here goes to our O-line. Yeah. All right, O-line. O-line. All right? Hey, the way you guys dominated the line of scrimmage all day with protection, running the football when we needed it most. 3rd and 5, we need a first down. We say run the ball behind y'all. Let's go, baby. Let's go. Great job, O-line. Great job.
So the much maligned O-line gets the game ball. They took the pressure off their quarterback late when it felt like that game was getting away from them. They ran the ball down the Jags' throat to go get the win. So they do deserve credit for that. No holding calls on that final drive, no false starts, a clean operation. And when they needed it, I know the Jags wouldn't have had a lot of timeouts, but you got a little uncomfortable late. They got it done. So credit to them. Led the Texans to the win. They go into their bye at 8-5, still in firm control of the division. And the stretch we've talked about since the beginning of the year comes to the fore right after the bye. It looks a little less tough considering how the teams are playing. Dolphins, Chiefs, Ravens, none of them are looking great despite the Chiefs' record. The Ravens game all of a sudden looks very winnable. And, of course, we talked about it earlier. The Dolphins determine whether you're a good team or not. They will beat you if you're bad. They don't if you're good. So, Texans, don't prove to be a bad team. I already think you're, like, okay. You lose to the Dolphins, we'll put you firmly in the below okay category because that's just how it is. And Sean said open the roof because, hey, Jordan Brooks, the Dolphins linebacker, said the weather affected them and they were soft. I don't know what the weather's going to be like in mid-December. What, it'd be December 15th?
Something like
with
that.
With the roof open? Pray for an unseasonable cold front to come in and then open the roof because, of course, we expect the Texans to play well in that weather.
Yeah. I mean, C.J. Stroud's used to it. Big Ten quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I'm trying to think if we have anyone. Cade Stover
Joe,
used
Joe
to
Mixon
it.
played for the Bengals?
He played for the Bengals, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Nico Collins, Big Ten wide receiver. A long time ago.
It's been a while. Open
up the room.
No chance. In December, in Houston, not a chance. I don't care what the weather is. They're not doing that. It's a big game. They're going to need the sound to reverberate. Hopefully people will be there.
What, the Dolphins fans that are going to be there?
See, that's the unsaid thing I didn't want to say, but you said it. I would hope at that point, with the playoff push coming, people who...
I'm familiar with
Texans gear show up for the game.
I'm familiar with how this
works. I think we all know how it's going to go. We can always hope, right? Hope in one hand,
yeah.
Poo in the other, so on and so forth. Texans, on a good front, they win. They close it out strong. with their offense. And they dominate this division. I know it feels like they're the Bill O'Brien Texans, but let's not invoke awful days of the past. You can think it, but let's not say it.
Doesn't matter, Brian. But AFC South champions there, 2 years in a row, Brian.
You damn right. And they're well on their way.
Yeah, they got another one.
I need D'Amico to say it or say something similar. Doesn't matter. We're in the playoffs. Doesn't matter how it looked. We're in the playoffs. We won the division. Hosting a home game. I need something like that if he gets criticized late.
Yeah, especially if like the Colts just like lose like two more games, but then the Texans also lose against like the Ravens and Chiefs. And so they kind of back into the AFC South Championship.
Doesn't matter. Are we hosting a home game? That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. Saturday at 3 p.m.
Yeah. We
can already just mark that down.
Can we just
right?
call it the Texans time slot?
Like, they're going to play probably the Ravens, maybe? Chargers?
Maybe the Chargers at this point.
Yeah.
Which would be winnable. It would be more favorable than a Ravens team who has struggled, but we just think that they will get it together when it
Open
matters.
The roof for if they get the Chargers, too.
They don't have the reputation of playing bad in the cold just because
they all don't we play know, late enough in the season.
Yeah, they're rarely in a game like that that matters. The one time, well, you can expect a giant blown lead if the Chargers are in a playoff game with Justin Herbert. That's what we know about them with Justin Herbert in the playoffs.
Yeah. Someone's gonna look really stupid for losing that game. I can already tell you.
The Texans Chargers playoff game. A lot of dumb crap's going to happen in that game. We know that. If that game comes to pass, a lot of dumb things that a lot of NFL people with all their focus on that game, it's going to be memeable. A lot of things are going to happen. And you just hope the Chargers' ineptitude outshines yours. And that's how we spin that one.
Yeah.
We'll see. We will get more into the NFL weekend as a whole. It was a light week. It was a light Sunday because of three games, obviously, on Thursday, and of course you got the Monday night game tonight. Speaking of a potential AFC opponent in the playoffs, the Broncos go tonight against the Browns. Bo Nix coming to town.
That will also be a stupid game.
Yes.
Probably less fun.
What game wouldn't be stupid? The Texans hosting a playoff game. Who could the opponent be in the game wouldn't be a dumb one?
Maybe the Steelers. I mean, that's probably not going
to
happen.
Yeah, the Ravens come to town. Probably wouldn't be too stupid.
There's a chance, though. That Ravens defense.
They're pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yes. True. Very true. Very true. Okay. We'll get the break here. We'll come back with more. We'll hear from D'Amico. Actually, Ryan Day. Let's get to the Ryan Day sound because the Michigan loss was a bad one. He looked shell-shocked during the game and after the game and certainly during the fight that was occurring. We'll hear why he might have had that look on his face, because the Michigan game is very serious for Ohio State, and maybe the person who is most serious to is Ryan Day. We'll hear from him when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, is the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Okay, it was a giant weekend in college football. Some upsets, some chaos. We'll see how the CFP committee responds. And to be honest with you, depending on how they rank the teams coming out tomorrow, we may only have like one game to determine the fate of the entire playoff. It's going to have to do with the bottom of the rankings, because where they have an Alabama, South Carolina, Miami trio, wherever those two or three teams rank, and you can throw Ole Miss in there too, I believe, depending on where they are, there's not a lot that's going to affect. Like, how many teams who are in at large positions are going to drop below those teams if they have to play this weekend? We know Georgia's not going to fall, even if they get their ass kicked by Texas. Texas ain't going to fall.
I don't know.
Far enough.
No ranked wins.
Understood.
No ranked wins for Texas.
Understood. So. Well, at the time, it was a ranked win against
A lot of them.
Now, not so much. Texas A&M being the latest. But that game is more about a bye than anything else. And maybe if Georgia loses, maybe they lose a shot at a home game. But that's not going to push a team out. Ohio State Oregon, Penn State's not going to push a team out. Indiana and Ohio State seem locked in as well. You're looking at SMU and Clemson, and it's the good old bid-stealing talk we have for the NCAA tournament. Clemson is a bid-stealer at this point. Yeah. Because of the Syracuse win against the Canes, and Kyle McCord said, "You're welcome, Clemson football." He tweeted that out. And, of course, I took my shots at Kyle McCord halfway through the year through the pit loss, and look what happens.
Can I stick my head out and do a Kyle McCord victory lap?
If you're Kyle McCord, if you can, sure.
Best quarterback in the ACC.
Yeah, sure.
Second to Kevin Jennings.
If Cam Ward got to go against Miami defense, how would it go?
Yeah, well.
At least Syracuse found a way to get some stops after they were down 21-0, and obviously the scoop and score changed really the complexion of the game. The game flow changed when they got up, and now all they had to do was, even if Miami tied, they could just go down there and score themselves. It changed the complexion, but hey, get a stop at some point, Miami, and you're playing in the ACC title game. So back to the point, I think that's the only game that can decide a spot, and we'll see where the committee ranks the teams I laid out there, because let's just say it's Alabama in that final spot. Then Alabama's making it if Clemson doesn't win, if SMU wins. Same for Ole Miss. Same for South Carolina. I think same for Miami. What else could affect those teams at the bottom beyond the SMU-Clemson game? So as much a chaos as we got this past weekend with Ohio State losing, we'll get to the Ryan Day stuff here quickly, there isn't a lot out there that can change who's in the playoff, but it can change who is seated where and who gets to host a home game, who has to go on the road.
Boise, UNLV, too. If UNLV beats Boise,
they're in.
They're in, and they're probably the 12th seed. If Boise wins, there's a chance they're still just above Arizona State or whoever wins the Big 12. So they would actually get the bye.
Yes, the buys are still up. Buys are still in question. Yeah. Positioning is as far as where you go, who you play is still in question.
That one's just bigger than, like, if Oregon loses, they're just going to be the 5 seed.
Sure.
But that one is, like, actually makes a difference for if you're a Big 12 team, you either have a bye or you might be a road team. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're going to auto be the 12, but you're probably going to have to go on the road, more than likely.
Yeah. So while you're watching all these games coming up here this weekend, I'm sure there'll be a lot of fun. Take a look at whenever they rank them tomorrow night.
Yeah.
You will know which team is your final at large unless Clemson takes it from them.
Yeah, because none of the at-large teams are going to play this weekend. So the committee has done that before where they've just shuffled some things around last second.
I just don't know what point they're going to
TCU
use.
TCU and Baylor aren't in the playoffs.
Yes, but at least they had Ohio State played and they had a blowout, so we're elevating them. The other teams in contention don't have a game. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can point to other than we made a mistake last week. Let's move them around.
Whoops.
Oh, we misevaluated.
You know what? As we were moving Ohio State down, we realized Ole Miss, you're down two.
Yeah, Alabama, you're like, if Alabama's not in a position, your win against Georgia means more now because they won the SEC. Would that be the explanation?
This is something that I always have to preface when we're talking about the playoff committee. That is not good logic, but that could be the logic they use. Like, I don't think that's actually good logic of, well, this team ended up winning the SEC and you beat them.
Would it be the reverse?
But if they lost to Texas, already beat Texas.
Yes.
So
if Texas beats Georgia, the Alabama win against Georgia means less now and they drop? That's why I think.
South Carolina, welcome to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's why I think the only thing that matters is where they're ranked as far as that final
just
spot.
Just where they slot in,
tomorrow. And then whether Clemson can take that spot away from someone.
Yeah. Now, SMU, come here.
If SMU
you better
loses,
win.
If SMU loses to what is a not vintage Clemson team who was probably in the 20s when the game plays out,
mm-hmm.
would they drop SMU out of the rankings? Probably.
Yes. And
well, actually, we'll find out something here. Let's say, because we'll find out tomorrow. Let's say about their chances. Let's say a Miami team who loses to a now 9-3 Syracuse team.
That's a good loss.
drops 4 or 5 spots instead of like 7, which some people are projecting. If they're still in the playoff picture in regards to as long as Clemson loses, then that might be a good sign for SMU. Maybe.
I don't know.
Because then you're saying, are they going to, because Clemson wins, Miami loses their spot, and SMU remains.
Yeah.
I don't know. It feels like the ACC only gets 2 if the rankings play out in their favor tomorrow night and SMU wins on Saturday night. I don't see a way where Clemson's winning this game and they get more than 1.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for the ACC. Because that's a lot of money.
Yeah. And SMU, listen, if you're an SMU fan listening to this, you're like, but Indiana isn't playing, and they're in.
Yeah, we know that makes sense.
Yes, you're right. That
you should
suck.
Not be punished for playing in your title game.
And one thing is, like, if an SEC team, if Georgia would have lost to Georgia Tech and then lost in the SEC title game, they would still be in the mix for an at-large. Like, they could lose. They could lose 2
losses.
More games.
Yeah.
Yes, and we would still be like, where do you put Georgia? You can't punish them for playing in the SEC title game. But with SMU, it's like, if you lose, you're out. Sorry.
That is the feeling, mostly because we assume there's some unfair thing that has to happen to keep the SEC happy. That's what we believe. Whether the committee acts in rightfully that so. Fashion, we'll find out.
Because you got to put either Ole Miss or Alabama, or both, honestly. You got to put one of those teams in that lost to Vandy, OU.
Alabama has the Georgia
Florida,
win to prop them up.
Kentucky.
And the South Carolina win now, considering how well South Carolina's played. But
Carolina, you're playing the best out of these three, or of those two SEC teams, two other SEC teams. The problem is you lost to both of them. So that's a tough one to put you in the and the dance.
And we will see how impressive the Clemson loss is if Clemson gets beat by SMU. We know the A&M win looks less and less impressive.
Are they rooting for Clemson? Is South Carolina rooting for Clemson?
It'd be weird. But
they'd make their win better.
And if they believe SMU would fall out, then probably so.
South Carolina fan, you should not root for Clemson.
It's wrong.
And it's like you're rooting for what-if scenario where – again, I just have a hard time seeing you get put in over 2 teams you lost to. One of them pretty definitively.
Yeah, we'll find out if how you're playing and when you're playing means more it can until a different brand comes out.
I was going to say, depending on what helmet you wear.
Yeah, or does it matter that you have 3 losses on your resume as opposed to another brand with 3 losses who happens to have beaten you? We don't know. You hear all this going back and forth? Because we don't know the logic.
Yeah, like we're talking about like Miami. Well, we have to see if Miami is still in, and they lost to Georgia Tech, who was the record?
I think 7-5? 7-5, but we saw the quality of Georgia Tech against Georgia.
And a 9-3 Syracuse team.
So that's I think they lost 2 games by a total of 9 points on the road.
And we're talking about like either Ole Miss team who lost to
Kentucky at home.
Terrible Kentucky team and a very bad Florida team. I know they rebounded later, but
they're
come on, guys.
The full year they've been average, and if we're doing this, the difference now, different parts of the year, Miami ran Florida off the field.
Yes.
So
And Alabama also has losses to 6-6 Vandy and 6-6 OU.
So
good job, guys.
There won't be any real logic behind it other than we feel better about this team.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Hey. The guy who's now on Affleck commercials and College Game Day. He had that program humming. Put him in the dance. See what happens.
Send him
this guy wearing a T-shirt.
Yeah, who no longer coaches. At least when it comes to Saban, we like Alabama. Let's send him up to South Bend and see how that game goes. We think that'd be a great matchup. It could be as simple as that.
It would be a great matchup.
In their eyes, it could be as simple as that. We'd rather see Jalen Milroe in Alabama up there than Lenore Sellers up there or Cam Ward up there or Jackson Dart up there. It could be as simple as that. Yeah, I know Ole Miss. I know Oklahoma and Vanderbilt, but we'd rather see Alabama up there. It could be that. A team who doesn't have to worry about getting in, but no, they could be playing on the road. Well, it certainly won't be playing for the Big Ten title as Ohio State. We played the sound last week of Ryan Day on how big the game against Michigan was. And it probably exceeded how big I thought the game was, but I don't coach at Ohio State. Here's Ryan Day before the loss against Michigan.
We felt what it's like to not win this game, and it's bad. It's one of the worst things that's happened to me in my life, you know, quite honestly. Other than losing my father and a few other things, like it's quite honestly for my family the worst thing that's happened. So we can never have that happen.
While I understand how important it is,
like very important,
losing the game can cost you your job if you continue to lose. Now that's four in a row. I did not know it would go to the point where it gets a mention in the same sentence with the death of your father.
I will say, and a lot of people have criticized Ryan Day.
He didn't say it was as bad.
No, he said it's second place.
Yes.
That's basically what he's saying. He said it's second place to losing his dad. Fair. And during the brouhaha that happened after Michigan won with the flag and the pepper spray, and some people did criticize Ryan Day for just standing there like he wasn't there, like just in a movie where you're like, people don't actually act like that, where they're just not moving around in a crisis.
Sure.
That's exactly what Ryan Day did. And if you just think of like, well, he's basically at his father's funeral, then it makes sense. How he's acting makes sense.
You know, everything was put into this year for Ohio State.
And this is a terrible Michigan team.
Yes, the investment they put in, whether it be hiring Chip Kelly, who Ohio State people are criticizing for potentially being interested in and being focused on other jobs while this game was coming up next. The UNC job was apparently something that could have gone down in his favor. So it's the age-old thing. Our guy wasn't focused enough. It cost us.
Yeah.
Possibly. But you hire Chip Kelly away from UCLA. You get maybe the best back in the SEC. You get a safety from Alabama to come down here, go up there and play for you. It was all about this year. They didn't know how bad Michigan was going to be, but no matter what, they won a title the previous year. We got to beat them, and we got to go win one. And they still have that goal. They can still go win a national title, but it was supposed to be beat Michigan, win the Big Ten, and then go win a national title. Now they only have one of those goals that they can still accomplish. And considering the way they finish up against Michigan, of course, it doesn't matter if they put it all together because they won't play until like December 20th or so, or 21st. It doesn't feel like Ohio State is one of those teams. It doesn't feel like it because of recency bias.
Well, not just recency bias.
And Will Howard.
Will Howard, the offensive line, all that. Like the on-field reasons for why they lost to Michigan. Like that, it's fair to have questions about that as far as them winning the national championship. I think it's also fair to wonder, is this team really going to just like bounce back after their coach compared losing this game to losing his father? And then they went out and lost the game. Like, just like spiritually, are they, their fan base is going to be pissed at them for 20 straight days. Until they play again.
And Tyrone Moore, after the game, credited his defensive front. Mason Graham was a guy who was standing next to him, so he gave way for him to talk to the sideline reporter after the game. So he credited them, a lot of the Michigan players who obviously have a great record against Ohio State. But
none of them have lost.
Yes. But the fact that Michigan didn't even play well in this game.
No,
it wasn't like Michigan played out of their skull and beat you.
No, was not like, oh my God, Davis Warren got possessed by Tom Brady. Yeah, no,
he didn't even channel good J.J. McCarthy. It was still bad Davis Warren, and they still beat you. That's the crushing part. You could, you'd be hurt, you'd be devastated, but you could at least push aside and go, you know what? This guy played out of his head. I don't know where that came from. He had his moment. He was still terrible, and you lost. So to your point, I don't know how they recover. I'm sure a couple weeks off, they'll get ready and they'll put forth their best effort, but the holes still remain on that team, particularly on offense, despite the greatness of their wide receiver core. Can they find an answer? And now we don't even know who the opponent will be. Are they going on the road? Are they going to be at home? Are they heading to SEC country? We don't know. But for right now, devastating loss for Ohio State. Calls into question that entire program. That is what happens when you lose a game like that to that type of Michigan team. You start to question everything about yourself. I'm sure Ryan Day is like, is it ever going to happen for me? But he'll have a shot at redemption.
Chicago Bears. How would you like ugh. How would you like me?
You want to ask Joe George? He just walked in. How would he like Ryan Day? Okay.
Probably not.
We'll come back with D'Amico on the hit, and it's appropriate for me because I'm watching the game again, and the hit just occurred on the recording. So we'll hear from D'Amico Ryan.
Sorry, I know that's the worst hit in 50 years of football.
No, it's a bad one as far as what it did to Trevor Lawrence. But context-wise, a couple years ago, I saw a guy die on the field. It ain't exactly shocking what happens with the NFL and hits. We saw a guy get revived on the field. So, no, it ain't the worst hit I've ever seen. I've seen concussions before. I've seen quarterbacks in the fencing position before. Trust me. I've got a quarterback that it happens once every 2 years at this point. But it's a brutal one. But Trevor Lawrence was up in the cart and conscious. And what it means for Al-Shaair, a fine and maybe a suspension. We'll hear from his head coach on the matter when we come back.